Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Courtney Gutman, a neonatologist and the TIPQC Infant Medical Director-elect. Today's discussion will be on the Vaccines for Children's Program, or VFC. We are grateful to have with us today Dr. Caitlin Newhouse, the Medical Director of the Vaccine Preventable Disease and Immunization Program, VPDIP, as well as Kaki Tate, the Clinical Public Health Advisor for VPDIP. In her position, Dr. Caitlin Newhouse provides clinical oversight to Tennessee's Vaccine Preventable Disease Epidemiology and Surveillance, federally funded immunization programs such as Vaccines for Children, VFC, and the Tennessee Immunization Information System, TINIS. She received her MD from Georgetown University School of Medicine in Washington, D.C., and her Master of Public Health, MPH, from UCLA in LA, California. She is also a mother to two children and a border collie, all of whom are fully vaccinated. Kaki Tate was born and raised in Nashville and is a registered nurse with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree from Auburn University. She has had numerous roles in her time at VPDIP, including the Vaccine Ordering Manager, VFC Director, and now the Clinical Public Health Advisor. In her free time, she loves to travel and spend time with her husband, nine-month-old son, and dog, Biscuit. We are so honored to have you with us today. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your work. Let's start with Dr. Newhouse.
Thanks. As the medical director for VPDIP, I feel so lucky to get to do a lot of different things every day. One day, I might be working with our epidemiology team and the doctors who are caring for a child hospitalized with pertussis. And the next day, I might be coordinating post-exposure prophylaxis for an individual who is exposed to measles. I get to work with our over 600 providers enrolled in our Vaccines for Children program and help with interpreting challenging revaccination or catch-up vaccination scenarios. Finally, I get to work with the brilliant data scientists who manage the 10 million patient records we have in TINIS, our statewide immunization registry. I feel so lucky every day, and I really love what I do. So thanks for having me on here today, and I'm looking forward to talking more about VFC.
Wonderful. Kaki?
Thank you so much for having me. As the Clinical Public Health Advisor, I get to participate in so many different projects across the program. So similar to what Caitlin said, every day and every week looks different. I assist with measles case investigations and support the Vaccine Preventable Diseases team during outbreaks. I help create materials for our program, including press releases, toolkits, and memos. I attend CDC and other calls related to either vaccine preventable diseases or immunizations. And then I also help with the vaccine operations team with projects related to vaccine ordering and temperature excursions. So it's super exciting to kind of have different projects and new things to do every day.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your experience and expertise. The Vaccines for Children program is a federally funded program providing vaccines for children who do not have insurance, are underinsured, TennCare eligible enrolled, or American Indian or Alaska Native. Tell us more about this program. How does it work and why it's so important?
We love the VFC program. So the VFC program is this incredible resource we have here in the U.S. It's over 30 years old. It was started in 1994. And since that time, CDC estimates that VFC has prevented over 508 million illnesses across the U.S. avoided over 1.1 million deaths and saved nearly $2.7 trillion. It's really, I think, one of the coolest resources that we have here that public health can offer to the people of Tennessee. As you mentioned, it's a federally funded program, but it is administered at the state level, which is where we come in. So the federal government provides the funding and vaccines. Then providers enroll in our program, and those vaccines are shipped directly to them to administer to their eligible patients. The VFC program works first by providing those free vaccines. So the ACIP votes to add vaccines that are recommended by them to the VFC contract. Currently, vaccines offered through VFC protect against 18 different diseases, which is just absolutely incredible. Second, the VFC program saves providers and patients money. So those publicly purchased vaccines are shipped directly to providers so that the providers don't have to front the costs and wait for reimbursement. And children can get the vaccines at their provider. Finally, related to that point, VFC is intended to minimize barriers to vaccination. So kids can get the vaccines with their regular provider. They don't have to go for a special visit at the health department or drive to a specialty clinic that's far away. It's really intended to meet people where they are. It's one of my favorite parts of my job is the fact that I get to be a part of this really incredible resource that's there for kids.
What a blessing. And the outreach certainly sounds like it reaches all of our children in lots of clinics. The Vaccine Preventable Diseases and Immunization Program is also working to increase the number of birthing hospitals that are VFC providers, which provide vaccines through the Vaccines for Children program. Does Tennessee already have some birthing hospitals participating in this program?
Yes. We have 11 birthing hospitals already enrolled in the VFC program across the state. There are a total of 56 birthing hospitals in Tennessee. So the VFC enrolled hospitals currently account for approximately 20% of the total number of birthing hospitals, but we would love to get those numbers higher. Our ultimate goal is for babies to have access to life-saving vaccines before they leave the hospital. And so our hope is to have at least one-third of our birthing hospitals enrolled in the VFC program, which is why we are doing this outreach and trying to encourage more hospitals to enroll. One thing I did want to mention is that you don't have to be a Medicaid provider to participate in the VFC program. Any healthcare provider, including pharmacists, which we do have some pharmacists that are the provider of the hospital, and as long as they're authorized by the state, granting them authority to administer vaccines, they can become a VFC provider.
And what are the advantages for hospitals? Are there any special rules for the hospital?
So there are a few special rules. Hospitals can be considered a specialty provider. So that means that they're not required to carry all of the ACIP recommended vaccines in order to participate in VFC. So they would only be required to carry the vaccines for the patient population that they serve. So in this case, that would be the hepatitis B vaccine and then the respiratory syncytial virus monoclonal antibody. This ensures affordable access to vaccines, especially for uninsured families. Reimbursement for vaccine administration fees for each vaccine that's administered. This also protects the newborn before they are discharged from the hospital, especially from RSV, which can be very serious for infants. Like I said before, they can participate in the VFC program regardless of whether or not they accept TennCare. One other special rule is that if they enroll in what's called a replacement model program, they would not be required to maintain separate stocks of public and private vaccines. There's a little bit more nuance to that, which we can go into specifically with each hospital. And then most importantly, I guess, that the VFC program would cover the cost of these vaccines. The RSV immunization is very expensive. So for VFC eligible newborns, which is approximately 60% of the babies that are born in Tennessee, which reduces the financial burden on the hospital.
Makes sense. And we've already heard some ways that this can be very beneficial to babies. What are some other ways that birthing hospitals being VFC providers help families and children?
I think the most important benefit to families and kids, honestly, is that it keeps them healthy, right? So they can get the vaccines they need to prevent these vaccine-preventable diseases, from measles to chickenpox, diphtheria, whooping cough, and as we've mentioned a couple times, RSV. And there's no cost to the families or the kids. They don't have to go anywhere special. The vaccines are available at their doctor's office when they go in for their regularly scheduled well-child visit, or in the case of birthing hospitals, when the baby's born in the hospital, that baby can get the protection they need from the day that they're born. That means that a sweet little two-day-old baby can go home to their loving toddler brother who is inevitably bringing home all kinds of fun germs from daycare. But that sweet baby is already protected against diseases like Hep B and RSV. So if they can get those VFC vaccines in the birthing hospital, they don't have to wait until they go into their pediatrician a couple days later or 2 weeks later, or God forbid they miss getting into their pediatrician in that first couple weeks of life and they have a big gap of being protected. So if the birthing hospital is enrolled, then those babies, those children, those families can get that protection they need right from the start.
That's huge. And not just for the health of the baby, like you said, saving all that discomfort and illness, but also saving sick time for the parents being there to care for their infant. There is a RSV immunization that became available in 2023, which you've already discussed some, for newborns and infants. Who is eligible for that vaccine? And what has that data shown us?
I love this question. The new RSV immunizations are a big reason behind our push to get birthing hospitals enrolled in VFC. As you already know, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is incredibly common respiratory virus that causes cold-like respiratory infection that might be mild for most adults and even older kids, but can be really serious in some young children and especially babies. It's so common that almost all kids are infected with RSV by the time they're 2 years old. But luckily, now we have two different ways to protect babies from those severe infections. One is through the maternal vaccine, or Abrysvo, and the other is the infant immunization, or monoclonal antibody. There are two options available for that infant immunization, the monoclonal antibody. Those are nirsevimab and clesrovimab. Mouthfuls, but really, really great protections. They're not technically vaccines, but they provide passive protection by giving the baby the antibodies they need directly to protect them against RSV infection. The exciting thing about these new immunizations is that they're available for all babies, including healthy newborns. Since most of the babies who are hospitalized with RSV are actually full-term healthy infants, even though preterm and really small babies and babies with pre-existing conditions might get super sick, more babies who are healthy full-term infants are hospitalized with RSV every year. All babies less than 8 months old who are born during or entering their first RSV season, which is typically October through March, can get an immunization, as long as their mom didn't get that maternal vaccine. And then there's a second category of kids. Infants up to 19 months can get an RSV immunization during their second season if they have certain conditions that put them at increased risk for severe disease. Those kids can only get nirsevimab, because nirsevimab was the only immunization that was approved to use in that second season. The best part of all this news is that these immunizations are up to 90% effective in preventing RSV-related hospital admissions. So we have a really, really great tool in our toolbox, and we want to try to find a way to get this tool to all of our babies across Tennessee.
And how are hospitals able to become a VFC provider? And what are the requirements for joining the VFC program?
So hospitals can enroll in the VFC program by reaching out to our enrollment team, vfc.enrollment@tn.gov. As a hospital, you are required to have someone authorized to administer pediatric vaccines under state law. So they would be what's called the agreement signatory. And then you're also required to have a primary and backup coordinator to oversee the day-to-day operations. There is paperwork that has to be completed with detailed information on both the hospital and staff responsible for the oversight of the VFC program and the VFC vaccines. There's daily temperature monitoring of the vaccine, which is something that most hospitals are probably already doing. There is a site visit that would be conducted by one of our regional immunization representatives, and they come on site to go over the program's administrative requirements and proper storage and handling of the vaccines. And then lastly, you would be required to screen all patients for VFC eligibility during the hospitalization. But if there are anyone interested or has any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We have information on our website and then also that vfc.enrollment@tn.gov.
And we can provide that contact information and website for providers and hospitals interested in learning more about becoming a VFC provider in the show notes as well. Finally, tell us what you are seeing regarding children's and infants' vaccines. Are there trends you would want your audience to be aware of?
First off, most people still want their kids to be vaccinated. So I want everyone to take that home as like the main takeaway. It's really important that we maintain access to immunizations in Tennessee because they are overwhelmingly popular. Our coverage rates continue to be over 90%, which means that most people are in support of vaccines. Now, that being said, we have not seen the as strong uptake of the RSV immunization as we would hope here in Tennessee. By our last, in the second season that it was offered, we think that we only were able to reach about 50% of babies born in Tennessee with RSV protection. And we'd really love for that to be higher. We think a component of that is an access issue and not a lack of desire for the immunization, because it is incredibly safe, incredibly effective, and overwhelmingly, parents really do seem to want it when it's offered. Now, all of that being said, I will also acknowledge that we have seen a steady decrease in the number of kids who are fully vaccinated entering kindergarten, and that does correlate with a rise in religious exemptions. So in 2024, statewide, 92.8% of all kindergartners were fully immunized with all of the required vaccines for kindergarten entry. This does fall slightly below our 95% statewide goal, but we're also seeing an increase in the number of vaccine-preventable diseases, both here in Tennessee and across the U.S. In 2025, we had 8 cases of measles. We've had none so far in 2026, but there continue to be significant outbreaks across the country that are really concerning. As you know, the best protection against measles is getting that MMR vaccine. One dose is 93% effective, and 2 doses are 97% effective at preventing measles. Pertussis has also continued to increase exponentially over the last few years. We had 635 cases in 2025, up from 389 cases in 2024. So we're really reaching sort of pre-pandemic. We're topping pre-pandemic levels even. This is why it's this pertussis, this rise in pertussis is why it's so important for pregnant women to get the Tdap vaccine to protect their babies from pertussis and for young kids to get those Dtap vaccines on time. But this resurgence in these vaccine preventable diseases, I think, also highlights the need for more providers to get on board to offer vaccines at no and low cost to kids who don't have a lot of resources across Tennessee. So we're really trying to take this as an opportunity to increase access to vaccines for those kids and parents who do want it. And it does, the numbers that we see, most parents really still do want vaccines, even if there is sort of a vocal minority out there who maybe are expressing more vaccine hesitancy.
Well, this is all really excited. Again, thank you so much for sharing. My takeaways are that the VFC program is a program over 30 years old that has prevented, as you said, over 508 million illnesses, saved millions of lives, and trillions of dollars. In Tennessee, only 11 of 56 of our hospitals are enrolled. So let's all sign up, save money, save lives, and become a part of these positive health statistics. Any final thoughts from you all, Dr. Newhouse and Khaki?
I just want to say thank you for having us. We're so grateful to be able to come on and talk about the VFC program. We make every effort to make the enrollment process as painless as possible and to support the provider at every step of the way. We offer one-on-one meetings to help complete the paperwork and answer any questions. So we encourage anyone interested in learning more or with any questions to please contact us, our VFC enrollment team, at vfc.enrollment@tn.gov.
And I just want to echo that, what Khaki said. Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share this information with our birthing hospitals. And we're excited to have had this opportunity. Thanks so much.
And as a mom and a baby doctor, I can't thank you enough for this program. And I'm so grateful that the infants of our state have access to these medications. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org. That's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.